Age of Transitions.
You are listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, August 5th, 2022. Live from the facilities of Ocelli.com every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Standard Time. First hour of the show, Age of Transitions. Second hour of the show, Uncle the Broadcast. You can find the shows at theageoftransitions.com. Lots of ways to support the show at the website, theageoftransitions.com. We have a Patreon campaign where I have been posting quite a bit lately. So if you sign up for $3 or more a month, you get access to bonus podcast feeds and other material I post there. There's some special bonuses for $5 a month, too. Get the old first 100 episodes download of the Age of Trans or Trans Resistor Radio, actually. So that's Patreon. Check that out. I also have the book, Revolve Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Have paperback copies. Have ebook, if you prefer that. You can find the links to that at theageoftransitions.com. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to buy that. It's a great way to support the show. Probably the best. And got t-shirts for The Age of Transitions has a shirt. There is an Uncle the Podcast t-shirt, tie-dyed if you so desire. And there's also a Ocelli Effect shirt, which you buy an Ocelli Effect shirt. The money goes to Chuck and the network. And I always encourage you to support the network, the Ocelli Radio Network, as well as supporting this show. So thank you for doing that. Also, don't forget the affiliate links. If you're ever buying a book, think about clicking through the link on my website first. Go to theageoftransitions.com. On the sidebar, there's a link to bookshop.org. Then start your book shopping. I have some selected titles if you want some suggested reading, but you can also just search whatever you want, and they do have quite a bit on there. So check it out whenever you're buying books. You click through the link, I'll get a little bit for just sending you there, and it won't cost anything extra. And also, if you're thinking about starting a podcast and you're looking for a podcast, a podcast hosting provider, that's what you use to put your files on, which is something that you do need, and it sets up the RSS, and really it makes life easy. Publishing to all different podcatchers, very simple with Libsyn. That's what I use. You pay monthly a subscription, but let me tell you, it's worth it. And if you click through the links or use promo code Franz for Libsyn, you'll get 2 months free. And yeah, just another way to support the show. So thank you, everybody. And again, we're live tonight. So if you want to call into the show, you may. Call number is 319-527-5016, or you can Skype in. You can contact Chuck. He's Charles.Ocelli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016. I see that at Ocelli.com chat, there's some quarreling in the chat room there. So I hope, I'm not sure what I'm walking into, so to speak. It looks like something happened at the end of the Ocelli Effect tonight. I don't know, but I hope everybody is okay regardless. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. But anyway, yeah, you may call in tonight to this show. But yeah, this is the Age of Transitions, as I like to say, as I like to point out yet again. Thank you, Newt Gingrich, for letting us know in the first place. It was awful nice of him to do that, wasn't it? And it's interesting to follow the changes, the ever-changing stories from any given angle. Like, I love seeing mainstream politics, mainstream narratives, just all things mainstream, the way that has evolved over time, and also the fringe elements of our society, the way that the many and varied narratives of the fringe have evolved over time, and also the ways that they've remained constant. There's been certain themes that have always been, if not perennial, ever present. So, you know, lots of things to look for, lots of interesting things going on all the time. And the world is constantly changing faster than ever. And it's fascinating to see everybody trying to keep up, mainstream, fringe, and otherwise. Nobody can. We're at a point where things really are out of control for nearly anybody. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people doing their best to try to, take advantage of things and control things as much as is possible. But I do also believe that this massive enterprise that's been built up over the entire world is really getting away from everybody. And it's really taking on a life of its own. It's beyond the control of certainly any one person, but even like groups of people, you can't fully control everything. That's not happening. That's not to say that there isn't massive influence held by even individual people who are, power brokers, so to speak. Certainly governments. But governments have their own problems as well, and certainly the large governments of the world today have all sorts of different problems, and everybody's at each other's throats, and it's all a big competition. I don't know if anybody can win this, which is ironic, kind of humorous, apropos, really. But here we are. I was listening to an interesting podcast that was listed on JP Satility's News Vandal Rundown. There was a link to this podcast called, I think, the Irregular Warfare Podcast. And the title of the episode, I believe, was Spies, Lies, and Algorithms. There was three women who apparently all have experience in the intelligence community, the IC, from the way they were talking, that they've all, worked within that field, right? Worked in intelligence in one way or another. One of them was on as a guest because she had written a book, I believe. It was a little confusing, that, but the three of them were talking about intelligence. Oh, yeah. Chuck is saying that that was a good piece. He must have seen that, too. Yeah, it was a really good podcast that I recommend listening to. And in that, they're talking about a number of things, but they're talking mainly broadly the intelligence community, where it stands at this point in time. And I guess that one book that they're talking about, it kind of like gets into the past, present, and future of the intelligence community and where it's come from, where we are now, and perhaps where it may be headed. And they were saying on there that we came out of the counterterrorism era. It was like an era of counterterrorism, which was kicked off in 2001, right? George W. Bush. And then it ended in 2016. As Obama left office, so too did the counterterrorism era end, apparently, where that was the focus of intelligence and national security, I do suppose. And what was ushered in around 2016 was the era of, how'd they put it? not superpowers, but global strategic competition, something like that. It's like the great powers strategic competition or something. And basically, it boils down to like the big power players in the world, like the United States, I guess the EU would kind of be lumped in with the United States, and then Russia and China. Everybody's kind of you got East versus West, definitely there. But everybody's vying for influence in this globalized world. And they're making the point that the world does remain globalized. Business remains globalized. But there's this added complexity now where certainly the triumvirate of like the West and Russia and China are definitely at odds with one another, without a doubt. And that's what's going on now. So it's this great competition for influence on the global stage to see what country can get the most out of get the most benefits that they possibly can. And in the business sense, in the geopolitical sense, strategic, and certainly there's huge military shifts going on. The People's Liberation Army of China is amassing huge resources at the moment. And everything's being driven, all this change is being driven by what? By technology, emerging technologies. Imagine that. That the focus of this show that I've been doing for over a decade now has been emerging technologies. And that's really what's bringing about the major changes on the world stage, which are huge. There are huge changes. And I really found it fascinating, some of the things that they were saying and some of the things that they weren't explicitly saying on that podcast. I got the impression from the three of them that there's this consensus. It's like a general consensus, and this would be certainly a mainstream thing, but specific to the intelligence community again. What I believe that they were saying, again, I was kind of like reading between the lines here, so I don't know if I'm correctly interpreting this, but it sure seemed like this is what they were saying. But it seems like the intelligence community basically believes that Russia did, without a doubt, not only interfere with U.S. elections, but I think the insinuation was they more or less inserted Trump into the presidency. And then subsequently, there have been basically information warfare campaigns to divide the country on political grounds, and we're in such a climate now that you can't really address those issues because they've been politicized, and there's really like no unity or cohesion at all. But again, I think what the establishment believes is that Russia definitely put Trump in, and there's chicanery there. And they didn't even mention Trump at all. But I just kind of think that seems like what they were getting at. So it's really fascinating to see things. And I'm not saying that they're wrong about this either. You know, it's just crazy to see what's going on. Because certainly our country is divided politically in a way that it hasn't been before. Not that we've never been divided. Not that there isn't such a thing as a two-party system. I mean, we're kind of asking for it if you ask me, to be set right up for the divide and conquer scheme. But anyway, the way that, the culture war rages on, and it's absolutely ludicrous, and it's distracting from real issues, real problems, the things that people could be uniting over, but seemingly never will, the people that should have some sort of unity and at least try to fight for their common purpose, and that is to not be completely trampled on by the rulers of our country. But at the same time, what's fascinating is that even rhetoric like that, where you start challenging the establishment, it gets very dangerous, because there are all these propaganda campaigns from every single angle. I mean, everywhere. And they were making the point about this on that podcast too, is that now with open source intelligence, people have access to all the information they need. However, when they were making the point that most people use it just to make their own, to push their own political agenda, and they're not interested in the greater reality of what's going on in the world, they're more interested in, you know, pushing their, continuing their narrative, whatever that happens to be. So yes, that is happening. But it's absolutely insane. It's our Western establishment, and the United States for sure, with its competition technologically with China, gets very terrified many times about China really getting the jump on us with machine learning more often than not. And they have integrated machine learning into their military. That's what, as their military builds up, it basically revolves around what apparently the Japanese are calling intelligentized warfare capabilities. That's how they describe what China has been doing and is doing now, is investing in intelligentized warfare. That is to say, they use AI systems to more effectively leverage the technological side of their military. And that works in so many different realms. It works for the hardware, the actual machines and instruments of war and weapons, weapon systems, more effective with when you use machine learning. But also, certainly, the intelligence side of things, reconnaissance, all sorts of stuff. So they're definitely doing that. The U.S. is behind when it comes to that. But trying to catch up, possibly will be able to. And any time the West gets terrified of China, it's worthwhile to remember that China is full of its own problems too. It's not like some just massive super state that the Chinese Communist Party has control over everything, and they've got it under control. A lot of things seem to be getting away from them, which is a good thing. We don't want China just to be able to run away and just do everything it wants, because that would not be good. They've got all kinds of problems, and I hadn't realized this till a couple weeks back, but China's gone about. So they have a name for some campaign that they even have. It's something like the capitalist purge or something. Like they're getting very upset that the influence of businesses and also like the heads of industry have over the Chinese population, society. Just again, the fact that these businesses and these billionaire guys had so much power, and that the Communist Party was losing power to that, was a real problem. And so, I didn't realize this, but Jack Ma basically kind of got ousted from his position with Alibaba, and he kind of was it's been insinuated he basically was forced out and had to like go into exile, more or less. That might be a stretch, but I maybe not. It might be going too light on what's going on. I think the Chinese Communist Party said, "You're done, man. You got step down. We're taking over. You have too much power. You have too much sway. We don't like the things you say in public. You got to go. You're no longer a public figure." And he hasn't been for a while now. I did not know that, again, until recently. But the things like that are happening. And at the same time, they're going after they're starting to target the guy who is either like the CEO or the ostensible head of the company that runs WeChat. WeChat is, for those who don't know, it's like the app that the entire Chinese population uses to do everything, to live their life through. I mean, they do everything through WeChat. It's like it's if you combined Facebook and Amazon and Uber and every other app you can think of all in one thing, and more. And they actually, the Chinese have been doing more with their phones for longer than we have. And they still do more through the phone than we do. That everything that they do in their daily life, they do it through their phone. Everything is paid for through the app. Again, through their phone, but through this WeChat app. Everywhere they go, they pay with WeChat. If they walk into a restaurant, like the menu pops up on WeChat. You know, all that weird, like little augmented reality stuff is going on everywhere they go, and it's being done via WeChat. I remember Kai-Fu Lee in his book AI Superpowers was mentioning that the Chinese leapfrogged the entire pay by credit card system. They never really used credit cards. They were all paying with cash, and they went directly from paying with cash for stuff to using their phones to pay for everything. They just skipped they never really ever used credit cards. They just went instantly into like the full digital thing. So that's pretty fascinating. That's good. That's a good thing to know as an American. And it, again, I've mentioned it on the show. I wish we had a better feel for the propaganda that the Chinese people are subjected to, because it's just, I mean, how do you do it? We can't really accurately do it. We can only get little bits and pieces. On that note, I would recommend the film American Factory. American Factory is the title. It came out a couple of years ago. I think it won an award for best documentary. I forget where. It's some like Cannes or something like that, Film Fest. But it was very good. It was a great documentary. It's about this town in Ohio and this auto glass manufacturer that reopens under Chinese ownership. So this Chinese businessman comes in and restarts the company. It's based out of a town in Ohio, and it's like an old auto industry town that had shut down, and then it reopens, and it gets into all sorts of interesting issues. Actually, it's really good. It's worth a watch. But in that, Part of the thing that the film gets into is they brought quite a few workers from a glass factory in China, Chinese nationals, over to the Ohio factory to work. So there are a number of Chinese nationals coming to the factory to work there, and they're working alongside Americans that had previously had auto jobs and other jobs, and they got this job at the auto glass place because it was, you know, one of the only jobs they could get. And the Americans were upset with, like, all these working conditions that weren't as good and all this. And there were a couple of scenes in the film where they showed the leadership of the company would pull the Chinese workers aside and they'd talk to them. And they'd basically tell them, like, look, you're better than these Americans. You are great. Like, the Americans are dumb. You're not. Like, basically, you know, it's like you got, like, a little bit of, like, okay, this is the crap that they tell them. This is interesting. It's like, yeah, you're great. But we got to deal with these dumb Americans, blah, blah. It's like, you know, that's paraphrasing, to say the least. But it was just fascinating to see that. It's like, ah, okay, there's that. I mean, every country does this. Every country has the, oh, yeah, we're better than everybody else. We know that. But, we're in this situation now. And, like, yeah, we're here in their country. And we got it. We got to deal with them. We don't want to, but we are. And so it's again, hubris in that it's a great illustration of the globalized world where everybody's kind of forced into this relationship together through business. There's these weird tensions where nobody can quite get along. There's a cultural divide. There's a language barrier. But another good part of the film was it showed Chinese and American workers becoming friends and overcoming, like, all the dumb BS that, you know, working on either side that would cause to divide them. You know, and all the divisions that are stupid, and the regular people going, like, you know, this is dumb. Like, I really like my coworkers, and I think it's really cool that I got to meet somebody from another part of the world. And it really, that was really cool. That was that's a good aspect of the film too. So again, good film, check it out. But it was enjoyable to see what the garbage they were telling the Chinese employees. That was. Yeah, I don't know. It was what it was. So yes, international business tensions. Apparently, we're in the era of global strategic competition, where again, technology is the game changer, where it's changing everything, and it's all about basically now. With the speed, it's all about speed, and things are changing so fast, and technology is allowing you to do more with less, is what's happening. And the winners at any given moment in this competition that we're all forced to be in, is the winners are those who most rapidly figure out basically the most clever way to use technology and exploit it to their own purposes, at the expense of everyone else. So if you're clever, you will use the limited resources you have because you can, again, do more with less. IT allows you to do that. Cyber. And they did get into the cybersecurity issue on that podcast too, and how that's a real threat that hasn't been accurately, or hasn't been dealt with, that really, again, the intelligence community doesn't know what to do about it. They're behind the ball there, and really the world is waiting to see where this all goes. But I think it's clear to see likely what will happen. And even they were talking about big events and how they come to change things, things like 9/11. They were referencing that kind of stuff. And so And so, yeah, you had that wonderful reference for, I mean, you see this all the time because it's almost like a matter of course that we've played with fire so much when it comes technologically speaking. We're at the point in this cyber digitized world where it's just, I mean, the opportunity is there for horrible things to happen, and it's going to. It's just a question of who's going to do it, when they're going to do it, why. And afterwards, the many different interpretations we'll get from all different angles, from everybody, who will just be, again, pushing their own narrative further, spinning their own agenda, and quite possibly just adding to the confusion of our era more and more. The opportunity for confusion to expand to even greater levels is it's not good. It's something that's clearly there. And we're not in a good environment now to be able to handle that. I mean just everybody. The average person, especially. But again, even like these people who should, you would think, know what they're doing in the intelligence community and all that, they're not going to even know. They don't even know how to handle, again, like the situation at hand. They're not, and of course they're not coming out and saying what they actually believe because they never do. But again, if you, the consensus seems to be that the Russia thing is a serious problem, and they referenced Ukraine and all this, and yeah. So anyway, if you want to call into the show, please do call in. I'd like to talk to you. It's 319-527-5016. That's a call number, or you can Skype on in. Send a message to Chuck. He's charles.ocelli on Skype. He'll bring you on. You send him a message. Or call 319-527-5016. There still appears to be some odd stuff going on at the ocelli.com chat room. I can't tell what's happening. I'm not going to sit here and read it. I think Jimmy James and Lucum are having a fight. but anyway. Yeah, just be careful out there is what I would say. And we need to, wherever we can, I think it's important to remember that where we need to remember not to fall into the trap of fighting ourselves. Ourselves being just, you know, the average person pitted against the average person. And there's so many ways that that can be done. You know, it can happen at work, where employees are mad at each other over basically nothing. Fighting each other instead of looking up to the top and actually doing something about the people that are literally control their lives. Instead, they just fight amongst themselves. At any given level, it happens politically, obviously, has been happening politically for quite some time, but it's at a flashpoint, seemingly, because people are being riled up over all sorts of ridiculous ideological lines. People are out there fighting holy wars. The same people that were all scared of Islam waging some sort of jihad against the West during the counterterrorism era. Remember that? I remember that era well. They were quite terrified of the jihad that was coming to kill us all. And again, those women on the podcast were quite proud of themselves for staving off any serious terrorist attacks after 9/11. So apparently the intelligence community did their job, if you do believe them, and everything was great. But at the time, yeah, there was a lot of horror that, you know, we got to do this and that to protect our freedoms, blah, 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 blah. That same contingent that was there and voting for George W. Bush and Cheney and there on the neocon thing, over time, they've morphed into the Republicans of today. That now, not only are they very much excited about the culture wars and waging them as strong as anybody will, but they are, oh gosh, man, I'm trying to remember what my point is. They are, what the heck was I going to say? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, yes, I know. They're fighting a holy war. That's it. The thing that they were terrified was going to come here. Well, now they've brought it here. They brought it here under the banner of Christian nationalism, which people are actually espousing now as like a thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of these kooks are like, yeah, we should be Christian nationalists. It's a great thing. I mean, I'm surprised they don't just go, yeah, Christian identity. That's what we're all about. You know, it's they may as well just say that. All these ludicrous things they say, they actually believe that the church should have say over the state. They say these things, and they believe it, and they think that's what the founders believed. Give me a break. Yeah, that's the complete opposite of what they had in mind. The whole point was to keep religion and state separate so that you may have, each individual may have the freedom to pursue whatever religion they want, because there's no theocratic influence in government whatsoever. Everyone is free to be religious how they choose. That was the idea. But now we've got these nuts that actually are going about this bizarre evangelical Christian political campaign. It's insane. And again, the very people that were so scared of, you know, the other major religion coming to get us. And it's fascinating for me to see sort of the way that, you know, the old adage that goes, you become what you most fear. If you fear something so much, that's actually, I guess the reason that you fear it is because you know it like represents like the dark side of you that you're not willing to deal with. And in so doing, you actually end up bringing about that evil upon the world. And that's really what's happened. And to see the, again, the fringe conspiracy world, whatever, again, whatever this realm is, that what used to be the truth movement, right? To see how that has evolved over time, and the different narratives that popped up, and the different things, and the stuff that people try to explain away, but now you really can't. Count Popper's making the point, many of the founding fathers would identify as deists over Christians. Yes, absolutely they would, which is hilarious. Not Christian at all, which is really funny. But again, I mean, who cares what history actually is? It's fun to just make it up and believe what you want because you believe a certain thing. So you just change reality to make things, again, to suit your narrative. And that's what everybody does to the nth degree now. But yeah, it's just, it's insane what we have to deal with. And there are, there have been lurking in the shadows of the fringe the whole time, these extremists in the right wing, which have come to bear quite a bit of influence, apparently, seeing where we're at now and different things that have become popular, not only in the alternative sphere, but creeping out into the mainstream with, you know, famously everything Tucker Carlson basically gets up there and says on air. He's taken all kinds of heat for promoting ideas like the replacement, like a great replacement or white replacement or whatever theory, which definitely people who've been following alternative narratives should have seen this coming for quite some time. Because quite a few years back, there was more and more push for the concept of white genocide popped up, right? Remember that? I don't know if that term gets used as much as it used to, but it's the same concept, the replacement theory, all that, leading into the populist movements, the various ones across the West today that we're seeing. But yeah, that became a big thing a few years back in the alternative. And you know, people were going on the wonderful social media and cherry picking any article that had like this racial division quality to it. It's like a black man attacked a white woman. Like people would post stuff like that over and over and over again. It was just ludicrous. And to me, it was astounding to see people and like, you're really doing this? This is what you're doing? And what was even more mind-blowing was to see the number of people would jump on the bandwagon and be like, oh my God, this is a problem. White genocide is real. And like all sorts of people would actually say that. And it was at that point, I mean, before that, I knew we were in trouble and that this whole like alternative narrative business was being weaponized. But at that point, I knew it was pretty much over. It was like, okay, here we go. This is where things really get worse. And I'm not looking forward to see how things turn out, but we don't really have any choice but to see. I think as for people that have been in the world of the alternative sphere and seen these things and interacted with some of the people that not only espouse these ideas, but, you know, just these circles that have like seen this stuff. I count myself as one of these people that has kind of like been around to see the changes and to talk to people and like to gauge what's going on. I think there's real value in that. Like I actually believe that I'm glad to have had the experiences that I've had. I think it's good to continue onward and, oh, well, we're going to call. Okay, so this is good. So, and anybody else may call in too if they want, 319-527-5016, but we'll go to the caller. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris from Massachusetts. How you doing?
Chris, I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in. What's up, man?
Yeah, no, I was just I was curious. You may have already mentioned it, but maybe I missed it. What are your thoughts on the Alex Jones thing?
Oh, he's in trouble. That's the short version of the story. But I mean, yeah. I mean, there's so much going on there. This has been a long time coming with these lawsuits, like the many and varied lawsuits he's had to deal with. You knew that eventually it was going to catch up to him, and clearly it is now, and there's really no turning back for him. But what are your thoughts on the whole ordeal?
I think don't know, this is going to be the real conspiracy theorist in me coming out right now, but I think the whole thing, is a sham to going all the way back to the event that he got in trouble about. I think it was used to lure, you know, honest researchers and conspiracy theorists, lure them into a trap. And I think he's playing a role.
I think he's
very much a part of it.
I think I follow what you mean. So, the whole idea was, you know, Alex Jones is a guy with a banner. Everybody come in under his banner and follow what he has to say. And, like, a lot of stuff goes along with that. Yeah. You know, there's lots of things he's promoted. I mean, clearly, he was in with some major power players. Like, we're talking about, like, Republican establishment players he worked his way up to, without a doubt. And he had some major backers behind him. And he was certainly playing a role. And so that much can't be denied. It's just a matter of what extent. I think you're right. It's just a matter of what extent that is the case. Of like, I think that he actually is like bearing the brunt of a lot of things that he's done, and he is being targeted, so to speak. But I think his day has come. And again, how much?
But
this
I think
is,
it's all no. But I really think it's all. I think he's a part of it. That's the real tinfoil hat part of me. I think he's going along with it. Because look at the way his lawyer was acting, and look at the way he was acting. Like, not firing the guy and everything. The guy never says objection when the prosecutor's throwing the insults around and everything. I think the whole thing's a sham, much like the January 6th commission. I think it's all connected, man, and to lure innocent people in and trap them. I just had that gut feeling, you know?
I know, I didn't mean to
cut you off there. Sorry.
No. It's cool, man. I know exactly what you mean, and part of me like wants to fully agree with you. Like I don't know where to stand. But generally, I do believe like this whole that basically the average person, like you're saying, has been set up to take the fall. In this
like deplatforming on social media,
that is coming. Like it's already happened, but it's going to get worse. Like, and so many people have just gone along with all this nonsense, and they've done things like, you know, show up to the Capitol on January 6th, and made themselves into an enemy of the state, and they've basically just gone along with this whole thing, not realizing they think that they're fighting the deep state. But they themselves are caught up in this big thing that they're taking it's a trap. I've had that feeling for so long, and I'm on the same page with you, Chris. Like it's just again the details of all this I don't and I can't know. But at a gut level too, that I do believe has been happening.
Because look now, all of his phone records, accidentally sent by his defense attorney to the prosecutor, and now the January 6th, look at the timing. The January 6th commission wants to subpoena those records now.
Yes. I found that odd. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. All of his phone records just get turned over. That seemed too good to be true to me, too. I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. What the heck is all this? And how does his attorney just go, whoopsie, I just sent all of his phone records to the other side? Yeah, that's
and
a
why
bit
does he
much.
Fire him?
Yeah, I know. That is really odd.
You find out the attorney's connected with Eric Holder, too, which a lot of people don't realize.
How's that? What's that all about? I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, he's Alex Jones' defense attorney, supposedly. I mean, I read a few articles. Supposedly was appointed by Eric Holder for prosecuting in the past. And if you remember, Eric Holder was all over the Sandy Hook, you know, incident. You know, there was all kinds of conspiracy theory people that were saying that Eric Holder had a meeting with the governor of Connecticut like a month prior or whatever about having these different FEMA drills and stuff for, you know, to prepare for, you know, school shootings, that type of thing. And I'm not saying Sandy Hook was a hoax. I don't know. I was not there. And I'm not saying no one died. I don't know. But there's a lot of weird stuff about Sandy Hook that goes away from the hoax stuff, too. Like, there were other supposed shooters that got away and other suspects who were arrested. And people, this whole hoax thing in the trial and everything takes the focus away from that. There was a lot of evidence that didn't add up that, you know, points to all kinds of things. And not even the, you know, the hoax thing where no one died or whatever, you know. So I think that's kind of like a smoke screen as well.
Yeah.
It makes it so that you're afraid to question anything now because you'll either be in financial ruins or legal ruins. And with the January 6th thing, it makes it so you can't even go out and protest anything now because now you're going to be scared because look at those January 6th defendants who are just sitting in jail. No one cares.
Yes, I do see things that way where, like, everything was just pushed in the Alex Jones direction, and yet now Alex Jones is going down. He is the figurehead of all this, and so it's basically sending a message that you will go down for this too. And it's just crazy. But also,
he has never-ending funds.
It came out that he was apparently like making $800,000 a day at one point. That blew me away too. I'm like, really? He was making that much? I knew that he was making a lot of money, but even that, I don't know if I'd
selling minerals, right?
I don't know if I believe that either, unless there's something going on, which there may well be. Again, Alex Jones got to be for sure connected politically. And he was running operations for a lot of different people. And I think this...
They used Alex Jones to prop up Trump, which I think was kind of a psyop, too. But that's, I know it's nutty to say, but I think Trump was an actor, too, playing a part.
Well, this ties back into what I was talking about early in the show of, like, you know, the establishment being really upset about the whole Russia thing and apparently, you know, the Trump coming in and later, you know, everything to do with the Trump era thing. And I think there is some international intrigue going on here, too, for sure. There is.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's hard to know. It's hard to know where all like this bizarre stuff and this insidious influence from what direction it's coming anymore. It really is difficult to make sense of it. So I think that's
the point.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, exactly. You got to be careful out there. You really do. And we got to work harder than ever to like even start to get to the truth. That's the problem we're faced with now.
But there was like the riots, the Floyd riots, the virus. Everything is connected, man. Like seriously, I hate to be that guy, but when you look at it, one distraction, the next distraction. It's just
It's just one disaster to the next, isn't it? They're just getting us all hyped up over everything and all worried and
next shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. I
it's
really
like they have these scenarios on the shelf, and they decide which one is going to work the most at this given moment, and then the next one comes out. You know.
Yeah. You got to be on your toes, and I really think part of the defense is not getting wrapped up in everything too, for what that's worth. I mean, because instantly, whenever an event happens or whatever, when a narrative is unfolding, it's sort of expected that you take a side and that you get all worked up about it. And, you know, you get all sucked into the culture war aspect of whatever the given event is. And then it's like, well, you're not doing anything at that point. So
left and right, which is a smoke show, too.
Yeah.
Smoke show, smoke screen. Yeah. Left and right. People arguing about politics. It's not the point.
Yeah, and politics it's not even real politics. It's just people complaining about, again, culture war topics of the day, which amount to nothing. Well, on yeah. the, you know, about how things that actually affect our lives. It's funny, all the culture war stuff really doesn't even mean anything, but it's what we get the most wrapped up in.
So, the woke stuff, too, you know?
Yeah, woke and anti-woke, it's all the same damn thing as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's a distraction.
Distraction.
It is. Yep. So, we have to...
So, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but it's great to talk to you. No. It was good. You brought up some good points, and I do again generally agree with you when you say that the whole alternative movement, alternative crowd, has been certainly pushed in different directions deliberately and made into their own enemy. Is what really has happened.
It's just a gut feeling. I can't really back it up with anything except for what I observe, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel the same way. I wish I could back it up more than I can, but I've had that feeling for years and years now. I really have, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, you have a good weekend. Good
take
show.
Take care, Chris. Thanks, man. And we'll talk to you again. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, there goes Chris Graves. Great to talk to him. If anybody else wants to call, well, this show is basically, this is the tail end of this show. But if you are listening live, the Uncle Show is coming right up. So you can use the same number to call in there, and Uncle will be glad to talk to you. 319-527-5016. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. It will become Comedy Hour. Talk about no end of serious things tonight, but isn't that fun, too? We're just all trying to make sense of things. Apparently, the intelligence community has no idea what they're even doing, so I'm not sure if that's a bad thing or not. I'm sure they think that's a bad thing, but I don't know. I mean, again, it's to me, I've said this before in different ways, but I really get the feeling like the system and the machine that is the system that's like forcing us all to, you know, take on these aspects of the great power competition, just the rules of that game, of this global game. We're all kind of forced into this. I believe it's the system kind of getting away from all of us, and technology shaping us in its image. It's already begun happening. And you could wheel things around to the transhuman interpretation of it all. I mean, how do we, as human beings, fit into this whole scenario? And we're just being pushed out in so many different regards all over the place, like in so many different ways. Like, we can't afford to live within the system anymore. Economically, it's not feasible. It's not like a fiscally possible to do, apparently. So what are we supposed to do about it? I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see as time goes on. Again, if you're listening live, stick around. The Uncle Show's coming right up on the Ocelli Radio Network. Glad to have you listening. My website is theageoftransitions.com. Go there to support the show. This is The Age of Transitions. My name is Aaron Franz. And as always, I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transitions. Revelation through conversation.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times, and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Coming up in the next hour here on Ocelli.com, it's going to run a little late, but Uncle the Broadcast, which becomes Uncle the Podcast when we put it out, I want you to be part of the show. Of course, I'm Chuck Ocelli, the producer of both The Age of Transitions and Uncle the Podcast here on Ocelli.com. Be part of the show, 319-527-5016.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
World order. Gossip, hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a G for that. Okay? So how do you combat it? Slowly, carefully, painfully. It's a painful process. Every single headline points to bang. A new world order.
I'm still talking about you shouldn't eat when you're talking while you're eating. Period.
No talking at the dinner table.
You're in your period. There you
go. I said period. Not no period.
What's
I understand
you
about
you just told him not to talk while he's eating.
Wait a
not let's have, not, I'm talking to a man here. Man talk. Not women talk.
While you're eating? You're
going to
shout.
See, that's exactly my point. Exactly my point.
No, wait. We're not supposed to talk while we eat. Is that the rule?
That's the rule now.
Okay, we can't talk while we eat.
No, all right, everybody. No, here, Uncle.
He can't talk.
No talking while eating. Uncle's rule.
We have to be quiet.
But this is the time that we're together.
It doesn't matter. When we finish eating, then you can talk.
No, they go.
She can talk because she stopped. No, wait a minute. She's eating again. That means you can't talk to her.
I'm done. I can talk.
Well, nobody else is listening because everybody else is eating. Nobody's listening.
Uncle, what is this logic?
This is the brain logic in the head. I can't because she's talking. That's why I can't eat. Oh, wait, let's get the talking out of the way before I can finish my meal. What do we got to talk about today? Let's go. What's the next subject? See, you never know what can happen.
All this because you want a piece of macaroni.
No, it's because I eat, you eat, you're good at it. You don't understand.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Mercy Broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hang me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this. Because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Broadcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 271. We are at 271 episode. Let's get those phones running there, Chuck. Get him rolling.
Yes, we're live on the Ocelli Radio Network.
Get the number on there. Get the number on there, sidekick.
The number is 319-527-5016. You are welcome to call. We hope that you do. You can also come on the show through Skype. Send a message to Chuck. He's charles.ocelli on Skype. Or again, 319-527-5016. We're here, Uncle. We made it.
What is happening in the crack room? Now I want to know what's happening in the crack room. Do we have any beers on hand?
There's been some scuffle, kerfuffle in the crack room from what I gather, Uncle. There's been some...
We have a new system with the dollar stores. No more dollar stores. We are going to do it differently. I'm putting this down.
Oh, there's a new rule.
New rule. It's going to be on sales loans only. If he gets a sale on a drink, on a sale, buy it on the sale. You got that, sidekick? That are you walking around with this light bulb?
I'm trying to get some light in here. I had to rush the setup tonight, but
I know that
we've got some light going now. Basically, what you're saying, Uncle, is that we haven't been able to find good beers at the dollar store.
Exactly.
And so we're just going to have to resort to other methods. We're going to look to find whatever's cheap and on sale, I guess.
And that's what we're saying. And I was thinking we can do it that way. And the boys can have a drink. And then we'll wind up, we can have our drinks that way. I mean, since we can't get nothing out of them dollar people.
Can't get anything out of them. It's a shame.
It's a shame it's happened. I'm going to completely out of proportion drop them. Yeah. Because there's a point here.
There's a point. What's the point?
People want to drink on Friday.
Yeah, they do.
Where's that drink?
I thought about it, actually, Uncle. Oh, okay. We've got creative accidents in the chat room.
Crazy accidents. Get on the call now. I want you on the call. Let's go. Get my 2 points right now.
So you can watch this live stream video of Uncle the Broadcast on Twitch, on YouTube, or Uncle's Twitter account. And, yeah, that's good. So Creative Accents is saying it's a shame. I'm not sure what he means. What do you mean?
Shame is because you can't get the dollar store drinks.
Oh, the dollar.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
You got to think what he's saying there so I kick.
You know, I was
use the brain of him.
I was busy for a couple of minutes here, Aaron, but did you give out the phone number for this hour or not?
We just did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Sorry. I was so busy. I had my headphones off for a minute trying to deal with something, and I didn't hear if you gave it out or not. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Don't be sorry. I can't.
He handled that. Because I got him on that stick.
Yep.
It's Chuck.
We've got our stick all sharpened up like a prison shank, because that's what you got to have these days for your stick, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Let's go to the ever important LAX runway footage. Let's get that up and running so we see what that looks like now. There's LAX. Gosh, it's beautiful. Okay, look at that traffic. I don't see any air traffic yet, but I see traffic.
No, planes going in overhead.
They'll be there momentarily. I mean, they always come in and out. So let's see here. Let's see what we can see. But thank you, everybody, for being here Friday night. It seems like the YouTube channel is growing, for what it's worth. Oh, we get a call.
A call on the line. I got the message. Yeah. Who's on this line and where you from? Let me talk. Sidekick.
Talk away.
Hello, Uncle. This is the former governor of California.
Uh-oh. Wow. Is this... wait a minute.
This is Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. How you doing, boy?
Uncle, very good, Uncle. It's very hot down in California, as you know.
We know that. What's we're out there right now. So I got my first caller.
It's a famous one.
What is your favorite movie of mine?
What's your favorite movie?
No.
What's your favorite Arnold movie?
Arnold movie, you mean? Let me see.
Running Man?
No.
Total Recall.
The one where you change.
What about Kindergarten Cop?
That's a good one.
Not that one.
Not that one?
It's the one when you're in space.
The Terminator.
The Terminator.
The Terminator goes to space?
I like the Terminator. No. That one was interesting. But there's another one that you're in. That I do remember. It's the one, the guy, what was that? The monster? That passed away?
The monster. Wait, Arnold Monster passed away?
No, this one guy did.
The actor.
The actor did. He'll know.
I was also in Rambo, I believe.
Oh, you were in Rambo too?
That was that other guy. That's the other one, yeah.
Oh, sorry, my memory is a bit...
Predator.
I was thinking of. Yeah, that one. That's the one. I was thinking of Creditor.
Yeah.
Creditor.
Yeah. That don't
nobody talk. Likes a creditor, do they?
No.
No respect.
Well, that's the second one.
I just wanted to call to say hi.
Oh, I know.
I have to go, but I will be on my yacht here. I'm with my favorite ladies, my housekeeper.
Housekeeper? See, he's busy already. You see that?
Yeah, he's busy, all right.
Okay, then.
Let me pass you to my friend here.
Okay, go ahead and pass me now.
Okay, goodbye, okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye, here comes there, a friend. Okay, that was good to talk to Arnold for a minute. Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. Exciting. That was somebody's an exciting talking. Moment.
Just a moment, yeah, sidekick.
Hey, this is it's Robin from Canada.
Oh, what a Robin. Hey, how do you find him?
I'm just down in
how do you find that guy?
I'm on Arnold's yacht right now.
Oh, yeah. How do you find that guy?
You know, we just met one time on the street.
Oh.
I was wearing one of his movie as a T-shirt.
Oh.
And he just invited me onto his yacht, and I haven't been allowed off yet.
Oh. So he's got a yacht now.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Well, Arnold has a yacht, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, yeah.
I said him, not you.
Yeah. Sorry. I wish that.
This hey, yacht yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. His yacht. Well, because he's got two. He got two now. Now look how many movies he's been in. Just think a minute, you
it's
people.
Been a couple. It's been a couple.
Couple of them. And then he can make this kind of dude.
Has he done one in a while? Was he in the latest Terminator or something? I can't remember.
When was that even? I don't remember what the last one was now. They got really horrible. Man, they were
yeah,
bad.
It's,
the new ones. I
said,
I don't know.
It's hard to say. I'm not sure.
Well, what he was in, the one that I knew was when he was with the son. And he's trying to teach the son.
He's trying to teach the son.
And the mother was in the middle of, that was the second woman. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
means the second Terminator, the Terminator, Rise of the Machines, maybe or no?
Oh yeah, Sarah Connor.
Rise of the Machines, yeah. Wade Connor, that's the one.
Yeah, T2, T2, we saw.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah, that's the one. You don't even know, so I can't.
Terminator 2, I know. Yeah,
but yeah. I've seen them.
Several Terminator movies, actually. I mean, there's not just the two or three. There's a bunch.
Well, yeah.
Terminator.
Do you remember
Genesis,
when the last Terminator was out?
The last Terminator?
Like 2012 or something.
Well, the last one was just, 2020, right? Was,
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah, it must have been.
Was Arnold in that one?
Yeah, we'll IMDb it. But yeah, Arnold in that last one, I think that was the last one where he's the old man Terminator and he's hanging around.
Was that?
Yeah.
What was that? I don't remember that one.
He was waiting around and waiting.
All dusty.
No. He just he decides to blend in. He goes and lives with a human woman, and he lives in the middle of the woods. And he grows a beard, a big gray beard.
I remember that one.
Wow.
They're bringing up the movie Junior in the chat room, which I.
That's where he was pregnant.
Yeah, that's where he gets pregnant, which I find fascinating. That's an interesting concept there, the man getting pregnant.
I was almost in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Almost.
Oh, you were?
Which one is that?
I think it was... Now, this is one of the ones where he was with Danny DeVito, which might have been Junior, but I think was more likely the other one, Twins.
Twins.
Yeah. He was in Twins with you. Yeah, I remember that one.
Well,
That one was a character. That one I had to laugh on.
Well, I was almost in that movie.
These guys are teaching how to take care of a kid, a baby. Where we all know women can handle it.
Well, that's Junior. You're talking about Junior,
but not the men.
Yeah, Junior is the movie where he's pregnant. But Twins. Twins is the other one with Danny DeVito, where he finds out that he's got they made twin brothers with the genetic experiment. And Danny DeVito is the, like, leftover crap that they didn't mean to make.
Very eugenics.
Yeah, it was. They didn't have a eugenics
going on there.
To it, wow. Absolutely. Yeah. Were you going to be an extra or something, Chuck?
Yeah, I was. There's a scene, and again, I'm confused about it because it hit the cutting room floor, and I don't think it's ever made an appearance anywhere. But they actually filmed part of it in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and they had gone into a boxing gym.
Oh,
where at the time I was learning to box, and I was a boxer as a kid, briefly, part of my therapy, and they had filmed rushes in and around this boxing gym for some reason, and so we were on film, me and some guys I knew, the guy who instructed me and stuff like that. Yeah. But just some background characters.
Every day we find out everything we know. We find out something new with Chuck. I've noticed that every week. Every week, I've noticed.
I've had a strange life. Yes, I have.
Yeah, I don't know. So. I'm just saying.
For the uninitiated, Chuck, how's that going? I've only heard the one podcast with it. Is it you're writing a book, or is your book finished? I can't remember.
The rough draft audio book of my book is being released in parts for people that have signed up to receive it. We got more recorded than we have out, but there's the introduction plus two sections have been released.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle, you got to get on listen to that one, and you really know the Chuck Cocelli story.
Oh, wow.
There's a test next week.
No test, but it is, just since you brought it up, there is a special thing to sign up for it at Ocelli.com or on the Ocelli Effect Patreon, where you can sign up for it. And
that's where I heard the intro, right?
Yeah, and it's going to be released over the course of the rest of this year, at least two-hour books, basically, per month that will account for the entire book when I'm done by the end of 2022. So... Yeah.
Right on. And for the humor lovers, are there some humorous stories?
Oh yeah, no, there's some humorous stuff in there. There's some dark comedy in there for sure, but all true. it goes some interesting places. So far, it's a little depressing because it's my early childhood, but it's okay. We're gonna get into some humor in the next chapter for sure. Well, not the next one that's released, but the next one I record, it's gonna be a little more fun. And stuff like that, but had to go through a little darkness.
Do you have any old friends from childhood that you talk to at all on this?
You know, I'm trying. Actually, it's funny you bring that up. I'm trying to, and I'm actually looking to recruit people to do the question and answer thing at the end, because each chapter is something that I read, and then so far, Chris Graves has been the only one who's stuck with me here. But Chris has been there for almost every one of these recording sessions, and I'm going to bring my son on one of them for sure, and others that maybe know me. Mrs. O has been on one of them, and also there might be a listener or two that I'm going to let on there just be part of the recording. They listen to the reading and then they question or comment afterwards. So that's what we're doing there.
Interesting. Oh, it looks like Count Pupper says he's on hold. Is there a call on hold, Chuck?
Is it holding on call?
Yes, there is.
Arnold's got him on hold.
Yes, there is, but we always wait to hear that sound and then Uncle decides what he wants to do.
Second call up?
We have a call.
All right. All out there, who you from and where you come from?
Hey, it's the Count, Uncle.
Hey, Count, what's been up with you? Yeah. That's two for me.
I was wondering, do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I got Hulu. I get Hulu.
Did you know that the Predator movie came out today?
Oh, no.
There's a new one?
There's a new one out?
One came out
I didn't see it yet.
It's called Prey.
Is Arnold in that one?
Well, it's called Prey.
I didn't hear
it. It's set in the 1700s.
I'm right now on a movie. I might get back to it, though. I'll get to that, but I'm on a movie now that I'm watching. But I'll get back to that.
That's supposed to be the Predator's first hunt on planet Earth, right?
Yeah, he fights Native Americans. It was pretty good.
Is this... I saw a review of Predator one, but I it must have been that one that I saw the previews
of. Well, the last
one
was terrible, but this new one was pretty good.
Interesting. Yeah, Prey. Yeah, okay, check Prey. That out. And it's a Hulu original, or it's only on there?
It's on the Yoohoo channel.
It's on Hulu. I mean, it's also on the Pirate Bay, but it's on Hulu. Okay.
You can, you get Yoohoo.
I know. I just cracked one open and cracked one right now.
I think Yoohoo was a bit more of those adult films.
I'm still waiting on it. I forgot to bring a beer up here.
It's that weird. Yoo-hoo is like chocolate flavored water, right? As like,
I was just going to ask, Uncle, you ever had an alcoholic drink with Yoo-hoo in it? Because there was something like that where they made it in the 80s. I remember it was popular for like a month where it was a Yoo-hoo with booze in it. Not something that they made, but like it was just sort of popular. And Aaron's a youngin', so he wouldn't remember. But do you remember some kind of booze that they would put in the Yoo-hoo? I can't remember what it was.
A little glass of whiskey pop.
Whiskey in the Yoo-hoo. Huh.
Yeah.
I got to try
it. And then mix it in. And mix it in.
Okay.
What are you laughing at, sidekick? You don't know anything.
This could be our dollar store replacement drink, Uncle. Yoo-hoo with whiskey in it.
What is Yoo-hoo?
Oh, you just, it's a chocolate drink.
Yeah, you might not have that in Canada.
Oh, wait, they don't have Yoo-hoo in Canada?
Wait a minute, you've got to have it in Canada.
I bet they don't. So.
Wow, okay.
Well, that's unusual.
We got frosted malts.
Oh, that will replace it. Frosted malts, okay. If it's chocolate, that's more like
ice cream.
You get like Nestle Quick and stuff like that up there, right? Like chocolate milk?
Yeah.
So, that would replace it, too.
Well,
anything you gonna have anything with chocolate?
Yeah,
do you have anything up there in Canada that has anything with chocolate?
Yeah, a soft drink with chocolate, right? Because here's the thing with Nesquik and whatever, they got milk in that, but Yoo-hoo is like, imagine chocolate milk except carbonated water.
Yeah, made with water instead of milk.
Instead of milk.
Is it carbonated, though?
No, it's not carbonated. No. Mm-mm. But it does. Huh. They put it in with soft drinks, like they make it in the can form and all that, the 8-ounce cans, like any other soda, and all that.
Yeah, it's possible. I can't say I've ever had one though.
Huh. It's in a yellow can.
Can with blue typography. Yeah.
Right. I'm sure Creative Accidents already has 5 pictures of it in whatever chat room he's in, because he always does that. But take a look. It's Yoo-hoo, and I cannot believe Canada wouldn't have Yoo-hoo.
Creative Accidents is saying that the drink you add is amaretto. He thinks that's what the drink makes sense. Does he put amaretto?
No, that's not
it. It might be amaretto. Yeah. That makes more sense, amaretto in the Yoo-hoo. That could
maybe it's new.
New Year's Revolution.
As long as it has to be, a drunkard to put in.
Right. New Year's Revolution. I say we do a Yoo-hoo shot with amaretto.
Okay. But the only thing is, we got to find. We have to find this stuff.
We can find that
stuff. But anybody.
At least might do well with that, too.
That's a great point. Anybody except anybody except our friends in Canada could easily find Yoo-hoo and amaretto somewhere. So we could all do this collectively. Everybody could have a shot of amaretto and Yoo-hoo on New Year's Eve. What do you think?
I'll order some Yoo-hoo on Amazon, so I'll get in that.
Oh, that's true. Even if they don't have it in Canada.
Amazon got anything. He can get that.
He'll get
Amazon.
It for me.
There we go.
Or you can ask, what's his name, get it for you?
Elon?
Elon, they'll get it for you if you ask them.
They'll fire a rocket to you.
They'll dump it to you from space for no
reason. Our friend that just gave us this drink.
There's an Altoona, Iowa. I did not know that. Somebody's on Ocelli.com right now there.
It sounds like maybe Bailey's might go well with that, too. Do you guys ever have
to deal with that? That's the other thing. Yes.
Maybe.
Bam.
Hey, quick shout out to Flippin' Arizona, because I've never heard of Flippin' Arizona, but they are brand new on the Ocelli.com stream. So, Flippin' Arizona, whoever you are, thanks for tuning in. Interesting town name. Okay.
See, when my shows come on, I get them coming. They come.
They're flipping.
They come out of the woodwork.
They do. Exactly. They come out. Oh, the funny show's on. Let's get listening.
Welcome to Comedy.
Another show. Another caller. Hold on there.
Okay, caller.
Caller, where are you from and who is this?
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. How old am I? It doesn't matter how old I am. Happy birthday to me and many more.
And we'll take
finally, Spencet has come back to the Uncle Show. How you guys doing?
Wow! Happy birthday!
And we'll take again. We'll take the copyright strike on YouTube for the happy birthday song because they do that now. Thank you.
Yeah, that's patented Spencet now, though. You know, anyway.
That's three people. That's three. I'm counting there, Chuck.
Hey, that's well. You already won for the night. That's it.
What?
Yeah, three callers. You win.
Yeah, you definitely won, Uncle.
I told you my callers come for me. They come to me.
I hope they're coming.
I mean, they come to me, and they know there's a test. When there's a test,
they're ready to pass it.
That's because you give them cat scratch.
I don't know, guy. I'm not saying what you guys said. That's what
Jim Jones or Charles Manson or one of those types.
Yeah.
So Ken, what are you doing?
Well, I've been busy. I wanted to call in for everybody's show, but I've been busy with my family. My brother came over with my niece and nephew, the twins. They're 22 now. I hadn't seen my niece in a couple of years. We all went to lunch. Kate went, my dad, and Gretchen, his girlfriend. We had a great day, and it's all around. And finally went swimming later on, and drinking some beers. And I just got back and finally just decided to get on the radio in the last 45 minutes. And I wanted to try to catch everybody. I just didn't have the time. But I'm glad to get on with Uncle, so I'm glad I made it here at least, right?
Yeah, good to have you, man.
It's the second hour. Today. You always come to the second hour, because the second hour, you get some kind of comment. Oh, and there's this picture again he's got.
Let's bring back up the
What's
Wojak.
This picture he had last week?
Back from last week for
this
no
guy,
particular
this
reason.
Guy's head looks like it's squeezed into the head.
Aaron, I think you should dress as Wojak for Halloween.
Yeah, that's a good one. He'll pass. Let me tell you, he will pass for it, too.
I can
He's
pass,
got the poor head.
I got the hair.
He's got the hair, no poor head.
Only you thing shave he has your eyebrows, I think.
The only thing he has to work on is his wrinkles.
You know what I could do is I could just paint myself white.
Yeah, pure white.
And then just like make black outlines like the cartoon crap on my face.
That would be good.
We'll lay in the background.
And then you can have like the Wikipedia thing printed on a shirt or something behind you. You know?
Yeah, I'll put it on poster board and I'll just like attach it to my back and carry it around so everybody knows what I am.
Yeah.
Wow.
So informative.
I bet you how many memes definitely have reached the Halloween sphere, right? Like people are dressing up as memes.
I would think they are.
Got it.
Uncle, are they doing this?
I don't know. It was much Queen music, you mean.
Like there must be people dressing up as that frog guy and everything, right?
Pepe,
they go crazy for Pepe.
Oh yeah, Pepe's already a Halloween costume. Yeah,
Pepe.
They stink. The other one stinks.
They the go one stinks.
Pepe Le Pew, the skull.
Oh yeah,
Pepe Le Pew. Pew. Kicks that tail.
He's been canceled though.
Oh yeah,
he's a sexual. He's a sexual predator.
Yeah, I know, but you can tell what's coming around.
Oh, yeah, you can smell them.
Yeah.
Chuck, are you doing those weird sound effects?
Yeah, what sound effects?
What sound effects?
Yeah, what are them sound effects?
Is that Aaron?
I don't believe so.
All right, now, who's doing these sound effects?
It's all in your mind.
I've been muted, so it's not me. I'm going to mute again unless I say something.
Gaslighting us, too.
Definitely not me, guys.
Okay. I think it could be Kent, but yeah, it's surprising it's not.
No, I think it's Chuck. He's got some whirly birds and things on his.
He's doing something with his mic
there for sure. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's him. That's got
to be to Foley art right at the ready.
Sometimes I don't say nothing, but I know it's him. When he doesn't say anything, you know it's him.
He's got the synth.
I can tell when it's him.
Yeah.
That way.
Count Pupper. What are the
Pupper?
What are the numbers? What are the numbers this Friday?
Oh, I think Count Pupper dropped out.
We lost him.
Yep.
And what happened to him?
We lost him.
What happened to Count
probably
Pupper?
Probably in the crack room, though.
Back in the crack room. Who's over there?
but he's everywhere.
Who's over there?
I wonder if he's into numerology.
You talking about Count?
Yeah, Count.
Yeah, he is the Count. He might be. He could be, yeah, with that evil numerology. That doesn't get talked about enough these days, does it? That kind of fell out of favor.
There's a few weirdos I follow on the sites that I get a laugh at every once in a while. They're going off on the numbers.
Well, that's good. I'm glad somebody's doing that. Somebody's got to do the numerology thing.
They just throw shit. They just throw stuff at the wall and just paint the picture with it. And it's quite something, really. Uncle, do you know what I'm talking about?
Paint something
numerology, when people put like A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, and then you take words and you add up the numbers for it.
And then you add 1 and 2 and 3 together and you turn it upside down and it's a 9. See, 9-11.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I understand that now.
It's a whole kind of corner of the conspiracy world, you could say.
Yeah.
They come up with all sorts of.
All we need is an experienced guy that does broadcasting. Oh, my. That would be the night stopper.
The night stopper?
If somebody was on a broadcast with what he said.
With numerology?
Yeah.
They'd really
that would help people go to sleep.
What? They're full of sleep.
Uncle says that they'd steal the show if they came. They just start rifling off the numbers and people would just be blown away by the info bomb that they bring.
Well, what you do on your show is almost the same.
Pretty much.
You talk the government stuff
all night. I'm like, yeah, 4 + 4 = 8, unless you're an idiot.
Right.
And I'm all out of math properties.
8 is infinity, and infinity is the thing we're talking about here tonight. So you got to add 8 and 8 together, and it's 16. And 16, you add 1 and 6 together, that's 7. 7 is the number of all things that are good.
Yeah, there we go. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
There is definitely something to
basic
number symbolism, but when they get all wild with the...
Did you hear that guy in the background?
I think that was one of these wrestlers. What does this guy got to say, Uncle?
Well, what do you have to say there? Speak up. Hey, yeah. What are you doing? Well, speak up there now. Hello?
Well, as the former governor of Minnesota, I just wanted to stop in and say hello to Uncle.
That's who I was waiting for. The Minnesota man. I don't know what they're doing in Minnesota, man.
Don't trust the government. I say don't trust the government and listen to the Uncle show.
Hey, did you hear a President Minnesota man? I want to know something. I know it's my hour, but right now I'm curious. Is that guy going to get hung?
Get hung?
Are we talking the right thing, Governor? Governor, talking to Governor, not you, sidekick.
Okay, you got a tough question. Governor Ventura.
Ventura.
Are they going to get hung?
Are they going to get hung? We'll know who we're talking about in a few minutes.
When was the last hanging in America? I don't know.
Bad memories,
I don't know if they're going to get hung or not, but Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass, and that's the bottom line, and they'll probably not get hung. I don't know who's getting hung. What are we talking about?
I don't know. Some
here?
Of us are already hung. And yeah.
We're
so
talking about that stupid Trump.
Welcome to Atwell, Australia, joining the stream, by the way.
Oh, Trump. Oh, you're talking about like the January 6th commission and all that.
Well, you should be into that talk. That's your hour.
So this is all leading up to Trump potentially being hung? Like,
yes.
In the public square?
Public square.
Maybe in front of Capitol. How about that?
I don't think Trump is very hung.
Why not? Well, I think he's got a pretty small
unit.
He's doing these stupid stuff, going crazy, click in the name White House.
I can build a
mushroom.
Mike Pence is lucky he didn't get hung outside there.
Oh,
on
man.
January 6th.
He was almost going to get killed. Never mind hung. He was about to get killed.
He was being targeted. Yeah.
Isn't hanging killing, Uncle?
Same thing.
Just making sure.
I'm just giving him some ideas what to talk about.
Okay.
Sidekick here on his hour.
Creative Accents is asking, is this the first time that Uncle has been sleeveless?
That is.
And he wants
sleeveless. Don't ever wear this shirt.
As far as the hanging thing goes, that is not what David Carradine intended.
Oh, yeah, well, should be.
David Carradine.
I think I know what you're saying now, Uncle.
Yeah.
Coded message.
Yeah. Coded messages on that one.
Yeah.
There might have been some numerology slipped into that one.
There was a little bit. David Carradine plus doorknob plus.
Well, no, this plus guy's character is going to
We've got new answers coming.
Holy God, count this telephone call. Hold on there. Oh, fella. Who's on this line and where are you from? Hello?
Hello, Jimmy James calling from Michigan. What's up, Uncle?
Hey, Mishko. What's been happening? I'm excited to tell you, he's got a high chair. I don't understand what happened to these chairs doing in here. He's not sitting in your chair there, Jimmy. What is this thing doing in here anyway?
No good reason.
You mean Sidekick's not using that awesome chair and he's using a subpar chair?
Right, a high chair.
True.
I've got one. I had the one in the back here. I pulled it up because
he wanted to be on the high horse today, Uncle.
No, this guy, Jimmy gave us these damn nice chairs.
He did. I like them very much.
And I sort of like them because I can sit back on them. But this string here that I'm playing with, trying to make it.
String is
bring that thing over here.
You can come this way a little if you want. You can move the microphone.
I can come up and move it over that way.
You're going way back there now.
Okay, now, I'm sitting back here.
Oh, he's laid back.
It's how to use the chair.
Show us how to relax, Uncle.
Did you have to change rooms because your kids are getting too big or something? You had to
change rooms.
Well, we didn't really have to change rooms at all. We just kind of like... This is it was in the bedroom before, which wasn't bad, but this is like a dedicated podcast room, and we use it for like a guest bedroom too. But it's kind of nice to have our own room here.
Think it's better this way because they got their own room now, and it was sort of this was in their room where I think it needed to be spread out. I thought that's what I mean, being it like this. But we were just waiting on the painters to get done.
That was us.
And that was them. Yeah. So.
They are the painters. I think I did a good job.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out pretty good.
Did you paint the green screen?
We don't have a green screen. We have the uncle background, which
the
is
uncle background's
kind of in
here.
The right spot right now.
That's the right spot.
It would be good to have a green screen. Probably, maybe we should get one of those one of these days.
Well, that's beyond the temporary list. Then
your shirt's almost a green screen.
Well, mine's yellow.
Yeah, I wonder.
Oh, yours.
I don't know how I go keying. You know, I could key it out. I don't have enough time to play with that as the rest of the show plays out here because we're almost done. Otherwise, I'd goof around and try to key out Uncle's shirt. That was a pretty good suggestion, Robin.
That could be entertaining.
That would be very
good. Mean a change of material?
What was that?
Yellow. It's a yellow background. What are we talking about?
I'm getting too technical here, Uncle.
This is it.
Too technical.
This isn't funny.
This is too jargony. This is not comedy hour, Uncle.
I'm having my comedy hour.
Jimmy, what happened? What happened that's funny in Michigan this week?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's funny, but it's these darn Canadians. to keep these border raids. Border raids are getting out of control.
Are they coming to steal your stuff like gypsies?
They come across here, buy up all of our cheap cigarettes and booze, steal our women, fool with our cattle.
Oh, wow.
We've had about enough of them. But we're getting more clues. We're finding clues. Well, look, we've been finding these little pieces of cheese, so we think that they're French Canadian.
Oh, yeah, cheese curds.
What kind of people are stealing people's women?
What is it? Are you bordering the Canadian border right there?
Yeah, more or less. I could be in Canada in less than 2 hours.
Dang, another phone call. Oh,
dang,
hold on, gentlemen. Call. We have another call on the line. Where's this from and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris from Massachusetts. How you doing, Uncle?
Massachusetts boy. So what's been happening with you?
Yeah, not much. I'm just wondering, is there... You know how your uncle, is there an aunt?
An aunt.
Or was there ever an aunt in your life?
An aunt.
Oh, you're talking about was uncle married? Are you asking that question?
Yeah, was there aunt or aunt or whatever. Yeah. It's maybe the accent. I don't know.
The aunt?
Well, I mean...
Did you ever have a crush?
Oh, gosh. Uncle's been married. How many times have you been married, uncle?
You mean married a second and twice.
Twice married.
I had Tom girl like a tomboy. The second one, the first one was a lady. What are you laughing at?
Well, there's good.
By a tomboy, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I call him.
Did she lift more weight than you, Uncle?
What? Oh, yeah.
She was a real strong gal?
The second one was.
Right.
She worked, actually.
It wasn't Brigitte Nielsen, was it?
No, she worked in the county with, for about 30 years, wasn't it? No. She's now 60 old, you know.
Did you stay in touch with your ex spouses there at all?
Well, she was on inline one time. My sister had it. I never got in touch with her because she had it in touch with my sister called. My sister called her because she does the push line, the line that, what do they call them? Touch line.
Wait, what? Wait.
She has a touch line.
About a phone line?
Yeah, the phone line.
Okay. Was it like a video call, Uncle?
Not a video call.
No? Okay.
A landline
that was
torn. A bumpy line?
Like they see the face.
FaceTime? FaceTime.
FaceTime.
Okay. Like OnlyFans?
No, yeah. She did.
Who did?
Your sister did a FaceTime with your ex-wife.
My ex-wife called her.
Oh, really?
Okay. And now I was shocked. I mean, what's she calling for?
All right. When did that happen?
Well, back I heard about it.
I forgot it.
I didn't forget.
Well, yeah, I bet you didn't. There's a lot of things you don't forget when it comes to these.
We were 4 years apart, but I know her age, though. Hard to say, but I know her age now.
You better not reveal it. It's not polite to
Uncle.
But I'm not reviewing it.
Have you met your third wife in Landers yet?
Third wife? Oh, not yet.
It's a good place to do that, Uncle.
Might be a good spot to find a nice cat lady or something.
You got a point.
No, hey, Uncle.
I haven't seen any names.
Hey, Uncle, you trust my
one guy.
Uncle, can you hear me? You like those chairs I set you, so you trust my taste, right? You want me to set you up with a lady? I know a couple lady Marines that live out there.
Wow.
Is it by the house?
Right. Oh, yeah, you were working there at one point.
29 Palms, Uncle, yeah.
Right.
the nation's largest.
I've been hooked up one time. One time I had been hooked up by my father.
By his father?
Yeah. And actually got married to him.
Oh, wow. This is an arranged marriage.
But it happened. It actually happened. Yeah. So I wouldn't mind to meet somebody. Okay. Jimmy, just a minute, sidekick. Okay, sorry, I'm talking.
Sorry. All right. Keep going.
Jimmy, I don't mind you to look into one. Be okay. And I'll get in touch with
you. I'll have to admit that she's a little bit pushy.
Oh, she's like my second.
Pushy?
Oh, it's like my
second. She is like a platoon sergeant or some such thing.
Oh,
thing.
That might be Uncle's thing. A little
you
bit
don't
of
no problem
with nomination.
You don't mind black ladies, do you?
I could find one sooner or later. That'd be a nice idea.
Does she have one of those wonderful marine haircuts they advertise all over 29 Palms? You drive all around town, every place says marine haircut.
Marine haircut.
Yeah, everywhere you go, like...
Like
now, if this woman is a Marine, I expect to see what you're talking about here, about dressed as...
It is a woman, right?
It is. Yeah, it's a woman, right?
That's a prerequisite.
Let's make sure
this is
correct first.
What?
Well, I can't. We aren't allowed to inspect these things anymore, Uncle. There's no guarantees.
Oh,
Tread lightly.
Lightweight. Well,
Uncle, I don't think you need another marriage. I can.
No. I'm not talking about marriage.
We're not talking about
marriage. I'm talking about
a casual idea here.
A person to actually talk to.
So a little hookup, Aaron. Let's not go serious with the marriage right away. I mean, geez.
Yeah. Don't be jumping into conclusions, sidekick. I'm torn. I had enough of two. I had two.
Enough of that already.
I know how it turns out.
Enough of the white thing already.
Hey, this girl likes jumping out of planes. Do you like skydiving, Uncle?
I'd like to try that.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we've got somebody important in the Twitch saying Uncle's first wife was an arranged marriage. It only lasted a few months.
39 days,
his
actually.
His second wife was a gem. We all loved her. And then, that's somebody who knows.
Oh, wow. We got some inside listeners here.
Who's listening to my podcast?
Creative Accidents is there saying, Uncle, I know you're not a biologist, but can you define what a woman is in 2022?
Yeah. If you watch Top Gun, you really find them. What are you laughing at, sidekick?
God holds all the answers.
Woman's in vagina.
Yep.
About all women questions.
Aaron, do you have a lot of family members that listen to the show here? Or what?
So from time to time, my dad he listens to a lot. He was on one of the New Year's shows with us, and he listens to most of them. And then my family here and there, they listen, not all the time.
Papa Franz.
Yeah. So some of them. Yeah. But yeah, Uncle's had Uncle, you have quite the life story, I gotta say. You've had some interesting things happen to you. And the stuff that comes out on the show is just the beginning of the story, really. I'll say it most of the time. There's some interesting stories, to be sure.
Sorry to interrupt, Aaron. I just gotta say, I got your seeds in the mail. So thank
oh, you did? Good. Okay, great. Great. Yeah.
Those are seeds to put in a new tree?
Joshua Tree seeds I offered to
Joshua
the
Patreon support,
which Robin is, which thank you, Robin, for that.
I got to look up the best way to get those going. So
there's some good YouTube videos on that. Check those out. They'll be helpful. And they're pretty easy for the most part. They're going to need lots of light and keep them moist in the seedling phase. Keep the soil moist for a while. Yeah.
Okay, good.
If you get any rain, it'll even help you too. There.
I'm going to do it inside, so see how that goes.
Give us reports. I want to know how that works out for you up there. I'd like to know.
My inside temperatures are basically like a desert.
Oh, that will work then.
They stay warm. They stay warm. I guess they don't get super cold, but.
Yeah, my guess is you'll probably be able to get it to grow pretty easily. It'll probably just grow a lot slower than it would if you're growing it outside here, but it'll grow.
Full sun.
Yeah.
Should cool. be good.
Well, I'll keep you updated. Cool, it sounded like I didn't open the seed pack, but it sounded like there was a lot of seeds. Well, we got Creative Accidents has been waiting for his Joshua Tree seeds for 3 years, he says.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll send some your way, Creative Accidents. I believe I have.
You got quite a bit
here on hand, so I'll send that to you. I will.
You go collect the seeds out in the wild, or?
In a day, well, actually, he was taking it off the side of
the tree
at the house, yard, and he was grabbing them and putting them in and opening up the seeds to make a tree.
Got a lot of them.
And he has a load of them.
And they're really growing good for us here at home. We've had success with the seeds so far. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been good. It's
Believe it or not, it is time for shout-outs, guys.
Okay, so let's go around the shout-outs.
Send the first
guy. I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger on here earlier. He's a good friend of mine. Arnold still on here?
I'll get him for a shout-out. I'll call him over.
He'll get him.
I give a shout-out to Arnold.
All right. Good shout out. Okay, good, good. So there's Ken's shout out. Why don't we go right to Robin? Who do you want?
Robin, you can do a shout out.
I'll give a shout out to Father Franz if he's listening.
Father Franz?
Father Franz.
All right, very good.
Your father?
Aaron's dad.
Yeah.
And here Arnold's just getting out of the pool here, so let me just pass it over to him here. Just one second.
Out of the pool? What the heck is he doing? Are you taking a swim?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Robin says he's doing shout out.
Yeah, shout out.
All right. I will do a shout out to Jesus. Jesus Christ. Thank you.
A shout out there from Arnold. Very
there
good.
You go.
Amen.
You
didn't know he was so devout like that, but that's good to know.
Okay.
Well, good night, Arnold. I mean, how cool.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Arnold. Let's go to Jimmy.
Thank you, Robin.
Jimmy, who do you want to shout out to tonight?
Jimmy, what do you want to shout out to?
Oh, jeez. Last guy shouted out to the big guy, the really big guy. I did not expect that.
I don't think anybody did. Yeah.
Surprise.
That surprised me.
You could shout out to a little guy.
Little guy.
The little guy?
Yeah.
Why not?
Here's to the little guy that makes all the things happen out there, you know. Picks up the golf balls. And cleans the ball, golf balls, and the important people who bring the drinks to you while you're shooting golf balls.
Jimmy James, all about the servants of the upper class tonight. The golf ball retrievers and the drink servers, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Country club staff.
Country club staff.
They're important.
All right. So that's Jimmy James' shout out. And that leaves you with, let's see, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, Chris is there still.
Chris is next.
Yeah, I'd like to just shout out to the lovely ladies, Chasey Lane and Tracy Lords. Good night, ladies.
What
are you laughing at, Frankie? There you go. Tracy Lords and Chasey Lane, whoever Chasey Lane is. So, what do we got left, Aaron? We got no other callers left. I have closed them out, except Robin is still on Skype, I think. And he already gave his, right?
Yeah. Uncle, why don't you give a quick shout-out yourself?
I'll shout out to everybody that was on, and thank you for the win, and all the people that are out of the United States, if you're listening, and shout-out to you all.
So shout-out to the five callers, shout-out to the listeners in France, Australia, Canada, and the UK, outside of the country then, right?
That's it.
There you go. Aaron, what are we doing?
Shout-out to the people that watched the live stream. Thank you for that. And that's it, really. We're Uncle the Podcast, uncle the podcast.com. Social media is @UnclePodcast on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll see you next Friday. Uncle, why don't you bring us home for the week here?
271 episode is on by. Bye-bye.